You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 5, Episode 4. Well, hey guys, and welcome to Feathers this week. I am first so sorry about my voice. I think I have a touch of bronchitis or something, but I am pushing through because I really want to get this episode out to you guys. I am so excited about it. This week we have Anitha Samanji. So I tell the story in the interview a little bit, but I want to say this all again here, is that my husband went on a missions trip this summer to the Indian Community Church in Boston with our church. Our church helped support their church plant. It was started by Suresh Samanji and his wife, Anitha. And after Scott came back, he was just telling me some of the stories and couldn't stop talking about how much he loved them and how great the people were and how amazing the stories were. And he told me some of those. And I was like, man, I really need to have Anitha on the podcast. And he was, you know, separately, he said, I think you should have her on the podcast. So of course I immediately said yes. And then Scott connected us. So, well, this is way back in July after he got back from the mission trip. We started talking through email and try to connect to get on the podcast. Well, it took over 2 months for us to actually figure out a time that we could get together. So I did the recording a week before this podcast is releasing. And just like 2 days after I read, 2 days after we recorded, I read in our church's newsletter that Suresh is actually coming to my church this week. So it's totally crazy. He's going to preach. And I was, I just couldn't believe God's timing with getting this podcast out. And then he was going to be at our church where I could meet him. And when I heard, I just kind of assumed it was just going to be Suresh at the church, which is great. I'm very excited to meet him. And then Scott called me today and said, guess what? Anitha and her kids are coming too. And we're going to have lunch with them on Sunday. So I think it's totally amazing how God worked all of his timing out. And, you know, it's just one of those times where you just feel like God must be orchestrating something because it just seems too coincidental to be otherwise. So anyway, if you are in the Charlotte area, I would love to see you at North Rock Hill Church in Rock Hill to hear Suresh and meet his family. But for today, I have Anitha on the podcast and she gives us a snapshot of her life as a Christian and just the high level view of how they came to plant the Indian Community Church in Boston. And I think you're going to be just as inspired as I was after talking with her. So let's go ahead and jump into my conversation with Anitha. Well, hey, Anitha, and welcome to Feathers today. So glad to have you with me.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, such a pleasure to talk to you. So for people listening, I would just want to fill everybody in kind of how we know each other. My husband, Scott, went on a missions trip up to the Boston area over the summer and was able to help out with you and your husband's church in Boston. And I guess your husband began to share you guys just amazing story of faith, really, and what you guys are doing in that church. And his comment was that I should have you on the podcast. And I totally agreed because I was so interested in your story. And so I'm so glad to have you here today. I would love for you to just give everybody, just to introduce them to yourself and your family and what you guys do.
Sure. Hi, all of you. I'm from India. My name is Anitha Samanji. We moved to United States in 2009. Like, I moved to United States in 2009. And my husband was already a student here in Cincinnati, Ohio, Temple Baptist College. So I moved here and then, but basically I'm from South India. I was born and raised in a city called close by Hyderabad, and my father he worked for military, and my mom was a teacher. I was grew up in a Christian family, and it was very different. When I say Christian, it's people it's nominal Christians. They don't believe in Christ. They are just Christians because they are born in Christian family. That's how I used to think like I was a Christian. But later in life I have realized that's not the Christianity. If you say Christian, you have to be a follower of Christ. So
So how is it? I'm just curious. I don't mean to interrupt you, but how is it that you? So it sounds like maybe a cultural sort of Christianity. How I didn't even know that actually India had even sort of even a cultural kind of Christian background. So what's kind of the, do you know the history of that in India?
Actually, there's very less percent of Christians in India, but most of them. Out of that also, most of them are nominal Christians. So it's like, it's not like here, because I met people here, they just tell you directly, like, I'm not a Christian. Even they're born in Christian family. But back in India, if we are born in a Christian family, we are considered as Christians.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's what I used to think. But I have realized one day my pastor was preaching in the church. I have realized that I was not a Christian. I was just born to a Christian parents, because I have seen all my life my parents spending their time in prayer and reading the word. But I always thought it's just a cultural thing. I never thought it's a personal, to have a personal relationship with Christ. So when a preacher was preaching and he was talking about John 3:16, that time I have realized like how God has loved us and what he has done for us. So that day, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. So and from that day, I
how old
have
were
started
you then?
Following him. I was 17.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have started following Christ. Like I was praying and reading the word. But after a few months, I have realized like the day I have accepted Christ, I don't have the relationship after a few days. Like, I don't feel that relationship. So, I was still longing for that close relationship with God. So, when I was, like, years was passing, I still used to go to church because I was supposed to go to church. That was my parents' thing. So, I used to go to church. I used to be in choir. I used to pray. I do everything. But I didn't have that relationship with Christ. But when I was at the age of 25, one day I was very close to my dad. So one day he used to help a bank. He was retired when I was very young. He came home and he started helping a bank for almost 20 years. So one day he went to bank one morning and I got a phone call from bank saying that he's unconscious. So I went with one of my uncle there. And both of us went there, and what I have seen is when I went to the bank, I have seen an ambulance in front of the bank, and my dad was in the ambulance. So I didn't know what happened exactly. I was just asking people what happened. Everyone said, he's okay, that's fine, you just have to take him to the hospital. So my uncle said, why don't you go in the ambulance, I'll come behind you. So I said, okay, I was sitting in the ambulance and I was looking at my dad. And what I have realized is he's no more. I think he had a massive heart attack for the first time and he passed away.
I'm so sorry.
So I was sitting in the ambulance and I was looking at my dad. And out of the ambulance window, I was trying to look for my uncle. He was not coming with us. So in ambulance, I was the only one who is sitting and looking at my dad. At that time, I didn't know what to do. I was trying to call everyone, my mom, my brother, everyone. But no one was answering my phone call. But I was sitting there lonely and I don't know what to do. I was trying to contact people. Nothing was working. But at that time, I was feeling someone is sitting next to me and telling me, do not worry, I'm going to be with you forever. So I have felt that's like it's God's presence was holding me, not people, or not someone who is in the ambulance driving or anyone. But that time I have realized no matter what happens in life, God is going to be with me. So that's my personal experience of having Christ in my life. So yeah, that's my story about having Christ. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's great. You used one of the worst times in your life to be most present with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
and
good.
From that day, I have experienced Christ in so many ways. Like, I know that he's with me all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, at what point did you meet your husband, and how did that come about?
Okay, so this, my dad was passed away in 2006. So in 2007, December, one of my aunt called me on December 5th. They live like 4 hours away from my place. So she called me and she said, I have a friend who is coming from America. Would you like to talk to him? So she asked me. I said, okay. Then she spoke to my mom, and my mom, my brother, everyone was willing. So we all went to that place, my aunt's place. And that day, like, it was late night. So we all went to bed, and next morning around 8 a.m., I was up and I was ready, and I didn't know what to talk because I didn't know him or I didn't know anything about him. So I was ready and I was sitting on the couch, and there comes a guy, and he's like, he said hello to me, and I was like, I said hello. And then he went back. That was on 6th of December. He went back to his native place. That's almost like 18 hours away from my place. So we went back, and that was on 6th. On 12th, their family came, like whole family, like he, his parents, his siblings, and everyone came. And they said, we were all talking, and all of a sudden my parents and his parents said, why don't you guys get engaged?
Oh my goodness. So you said hello to each other, and now you're...
Yes. And we didn't have any conversations in between or on the same day. So I said, I did not say anything, because in our culture, whatever our parents decide, we have to say yes for it. So, and more than that, I was trusting the Lord, because he's the one who's going to take care of me. So I'm like, I was trusting God, I was trusting my mom and my brother. So, and when they said this, I was just waiting what's gonna happen next minute. So then my husband, he told to his parents that he wanted to talk to me for a minute. Then we all said yes, and we went to a room, and then he asked me 3 questions. So he asked me, his first question was, are you Christian? I said, yes. Then he wanted to make sure that I know what he does. So he asked me, like, I'm a pastor, because when you say pastor in India, like, there is no value because they are not financially sound, or like the jobs are not well paid. So he wanted, like, he was telling me that he's a missionary, and he works for the Lord. So he said, is it okay? I said, yes. And his third question was, if God calls me to go to anywhere in the world, like it might be China or a different country, would you like to follow me? I said, yes. So, and we were done. So both of us went out, and he said yes to his parents, and I said yes to my parents, my mom. Then on the same day, we got engaged.
Oh my goodness. Hello and 3 questions.
Yeah. Wow. We got engaged, and that same night they went back to their place, and after 10 days later we got married. That's 22nd of December.
It's a quick engagement. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And in between this like we didn't have any conversation, not even a phone talk also. So what I say is, like, both of us, we were trusting on God. All I did is I was trusting God, and I was praying, if God's will, let it be done. If not, whatever his will, let it be done. So, yeah, that's, I believe it's completely God's plan in my life.
Wow, that is so much trust and faith. So is that the cultural norm in India to have such a short engagement?
Not really, because usually people, when they talk about marriage, they like to see everything, like their family background, their financial background, everything. In our case, this is funny, but in our case, I didn't even know my husband's age, or his family background, his siblings, how many siblings he had, nothing. just a zero knowledge. So I didn't even know that he was a student here. I was just thinking like he's a pastor, like that's what I was thinking. But later I realized that he's a student here and blah, 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 all these details. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So that is definitely trusting God in that. Wow. And so, yeah. So you guys got engaged. 10 days later, you get married. And he's mm-hmm. a student in the United States at this time, right?
Yes.
Okay, so do you go immediately to the States with him?
No. By the time when we got married, I didn't even have a passport. So, and in India, it's that not easy to get a passport. It takes a long time. So, and he has to come back here because he was already in school and he came back here after 21 days of our marriage. So he moved in January. We got married in December and he moved here by middle of January. So I was in India till 2009. This was in 2008. He came back and in June he came back for his summer vacation and then twice. He came twice, I guess. And then I was pregnant in December of 2009, January. And then we were working on our visa stuff, like so that I can have passport and stuff. And by God's grace, I have finished everything. And when I was pregnant with my older one, 3 months pregnant, at that time, God has allowed me to come to United States. So it's like I stayed there for a year and 3 months.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And so when you guys got here, that's when you guys were, he was a student still when you got here?
Yes.
And I think he has an interesting story. Is this the one where he was driving? This is what Scott told me. Something like he was driving taxis for somebody, or not taxi, but a car from somebody. Or did that happen later?
Actually, it happened later. So he was doing his bachelor's. After he's finished with his bachelor's, we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, for his master's at Southern Baptist Seminary. Uh-huh. So he was working on campus as a driver. So that time he got to meet all these big people like he used to drive for Dr. Moeller, John Piper. Like whoever comes a guest speaker to seminary, he used to drive for them.
Okay, so he got to talk to them while he was driving them.
Yes, he did, yeah.
It's incredible. So he had all kind of contacts there and learning from them as they drove.
Yes.
Okay, so that's incredible. So he did that for a while, and then he graduated master's,
yes.
right?
So he graduated master's, yes.
So how did you guys get to Boston? Tell me that story.
Okay, so our plan was always to go back to India because my husband's desire was to go to India and preach gospel among his own people because his background was a little different because he was born and raised in a place where he always saw death every single day. So his parents, his father was a police officer. So he used to see all his friends were so spoiled because of that. And like all the community. So he wanted to preach gospel to his friends, his community. So we wanted to go back, but that was our plan. But what happened is, before he graduated, he got a phone call from he's like a catalyst, church planting catalyst. He called seminary to he wanted a family who have a degree in theology in the right. seminary. So he was looking for a guy with a family who can come to Boston and serve the Lord among Indian people. Because there are like 80,000 Indian people without no evangelical church.
So, in Boston.
So he wanted a family. So he called seminary and seminary have connected to my husband. But every time, whenever he called, my husband always told him, this is not my plan. My plan is to go back to India. So he have called like so many times. So, and at the end, that guy, he was really upset. He said, you always say that you wanted to go back to India. Do you know there are 80,000 people in Boston who don't have a church? So what about them? So when he told the number, my husband was really touched by the number and he started praying because he didn't want to confuse me. He has never told me about this thing. So he was praying about it. And I think he has spoke to many of the speakers, these guest speakers who came to seminary. So one day he told me that he wanted to talk to me something. So both of us, we went out and he shared with me saying that now, like, he has been praying about it from so long. So he said, I'm praying about this thing about so long, but I want to share something with you. I said, what? Then he told me that, like, God is calling me to go to Boston because there are so many Indian people and there is no evangelical church. I feel like this is the time we have to go. Then he was not comfortable asking me because our plan was to go back to India and we have sent like most of our books and everything to India. So he didn't know what my answer would be. Then I said, do you remember one day, like once first time when we met you, that was your question. Like if God calls you to go to a different part of this world, like anywhere in the world, you have to go, right? Then he said he was so happy. That's how we have ended up moving to Boston.
Oh, my goodness. So you followed him to Boston.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. So tell me about that process. Tell me about your church that you guys have planted there.
Actually, we have planted an Indian community church. We work among Indians, and because there are so many languages in India, and the culture is so different. Every state has a different culture, and it's like if you go to a different state, like a state next to. It's called Mumbai or Delhi, different states. You see the culture, habits, language, everything is different. It looks like you're going to a different country. So that's how it is. But we all have one language. It's like English is our official language and Hindi is our national language. Like most of the people, they understand Hindi. Every state has their regional language, but Hindi is like national language. So most of the people, they know that. So like we've been working with all Indians. It's not like any specific region people, but we work with all Indians. So yeah, that's what we are doing in Boston. Yeah.
That's incredible. So what has been the response like to the gospel from the Indian community?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, there are lots of Hindus here because they come from IT jobs and different jobs, and especially Boston is really really nice place because it's you see like so many intellectual people here.
Right.
So many people. It's like if you talk
universities,
about
universities, right?
Yes, if you talk about like masters, like. It's like everyone does masters. So like some people, like most of the people, they like to go to postdocs and all these things. So it's beyond my thing. But yeah, but it's amazing to see like how people study here. And they are so busy. Like when you talk to a person, they don't have time to talk to you. Like sometimes we go for outreach and we try to talk to people. They don't have time because they're so busy in life. And some people, they don't even think that they need God. So, but it's amazing. Like, but with Indian culture is, it's different because when someone comes and talk to you, usually people try to talk. So that's the one thing, like whenever we go for outreach, I just stand there and I talk to people. I just try to make connections so that first I try to invite them to my house and then build the relationship. So we talk. At my table, like I cook Indian meal for them, then I start having conversations with them. So that's how we do as a family, inviting people and having conversation. Then once we are comfortable, then we'll share the gospel with them and then we'll invite them to church. So that's what we do.
So very relationship driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's such that's incredible. So you have all these intellectual, very mm-hmm. busy people, but they're clearly they're responding to the gospel.
Yes, some people do. Like recently, I had a conversation with a lady at the bus stop. I was waiting to pick my boys from the bus stop. So I had a conversation with a lady who is a Hindu from same state where I am. So she was talking to me. Like I said, so what do you do whole day? She said, I just meditate. I asked, so what God? Because Hindus have like 300 million gods and goddesses. So I asked her, which God do you believe in? She said, like, for me, God is like, I can find God everywhere. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, I can find God in my work, in my meditation, in my studies. I said, really? Then she asked me, what do you believe? I said, I'm a Christian and I follow Christ. She said, so she asked me, oh, then I asked her a question, like, how do you feel the relationship when you're studying? Do you see God in studying? She said, yeah, I can feel. I said, how? I said, if you say he's your God, then you need to have a relationship. You have to feel that relationship, right? She said, no, I don't believe in that. I just want, and she was also telling me that God is in herself. So I said, really? So it was like very strange conversation for me. So I've been trying to reach out to her. Like, then I decided this is not the way. Like, I need to just sit down and talk to her and build the relation. Then it will be easy for me to show in my actions than in talking, so that she understand like what exactly I believe and what we do. Yeah.
That's so good. You show it through your actions what you believe.
Oh, yes.
That's connecting. You have to be able
That's what I believe, because people more than words, people look at your actions. So when I want to say something, it's better for me to do in actions and show them like how do I live, and that's how I can teach people. Like, that's what I believe.
So then when you share the gospel, it's backed up. So when you say that God loves us, you can say, you know, they can see how you've loved them.
Yes, that's what I do. Because if I'm just telling them that God loves them, and if I don't show that love, there is no point of saying it. So that's what I try to do. We, as a family, we try to see the people, and if they are in need of anything, like some people, they want people to help them. Some people, they want someone to stand next to them when they need people. So in Boston, it doesn't happen, because there are people who are like so busy, they don't have time for themselves. So those kind of things. So I really want to do that for them. So whenever people ask me, like, I'm going through this, I just go sit down. Both of us, me and my husband, we do that. We just sit down and talk to them. We spend time with them so that they know they are not alone. They have someone else. So,
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how many people do you guys have come into your church now?
Right now, our church is very small because we have just planted like a few months ago. Okay. And so we have like 25 people, like including kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So very just the core beginning of it. But that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so talk about what when my husband came. You guys were putting on what were you guys doing at a conference or something that weekend?
It's a family conference. Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of things were you teaching that weekend?
So we had all these Christian families came, because it's a family conference. So we were teaching, like, we had all these speakers who were talking about the importance of the family and ministry and all these things in that event. So.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to touch on is that Scott talked about the great sacrifice you guys have made, even planning the church and staying over in the United States just for with your family. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So as I told you, like when my husband shared about moving to Boston, that time we were students. So like even with the internationals, it's not easy because we have visas. So we cannot decide like overnight to just jumping into a different status. So when we decided to move to Boston, we have to apply for our visa, that is work for our one, that is religious worker. So like we met attorney here in Boston and we have applied all the documentation for it. So the thing is like when your case is in the process, you cannot leave the country. If you leave the, you can leave the country, but you cannot come back. So that's the thing. So we have signed all the documents and we have submitted to the government. And then we got a phone call from India saying that my father-in-law has passed away. So
he couldn't go.
So no, both of us cannot go. And then what happened is like, so we decided like we were praying and we asked God, like, God, we know that like this is your plan. We didn't want, this is not our thing because we always wanted to go back to India. So we were praying and we decided like we'll just honor God and we'll stay back. So when we decided that we have to pay a lot for that because all my husband's family were really, really, really mad at him. And they said like they did not understand why he's not coming. So but my mother-in-law, she called him and she said, son, like, I know you did not come, but do you come when I die? That's her question. Then that was like heartbreaking question for him. But he said he will be there with her because he was not expecting that to be happen very soon. So he said, yes, I'll be there for you. So what happened is this, like without knowing, in 1 year, I guess, soon after my father-in-law passed away, in 3 to 6 months, my mother-in-law, we came to know that she has uterus cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And then within few months, like less than, I think almost a year later, she passed away. Uh-huh. And by the time, our visa was not approved. So same situation, we cannot go back because our visa was not approved. Mm-hmm. So that time also, he couldn't go back. So, but we know that this is God's plan and we were ready for do this thing also because we wanted to honor God, mm-hmm. not just by saying, but by doing it. It was so hard for us and especially for my husband because he loved his mother and he's the youngest one in the family and he was very pampered by his mom and all these things. So it was very hurting, but we know that one day we'll see her. So that's our hope and we are trusting God. That's why we decided, okay, so yeah, that was the thing. Yeah.
Gosh, that's like straight out of the Gospels where Jesus said, you know, what is the person that went and said, let me go bury them? And he said, Jesus said, mm-hmm. no, come follow me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, but God has been very faithful in our life. Like I always say that, like, I don't have any family here, but I have seen God's grace every single day. I have seen God's mercy. He has blessed us beyond what we really deserve because I have seen God has provided so many families here in the United States from, like, we have so many families who love us, who love upon our kids like their own. So we have seen that, like, we don't feel alone or we don't feel like we are in foreign land because God has loved us and he has blessed us with so many beautiful people who love us and love and care for us. And so many people pray for us too. So, yeah.
Yes, for sure. I know we do at our church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so glad that we are,
thank you.
Our church are partners with you guys. It's so exciting to see what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Yeah. I really, really appreciate. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's just really incredible. And I do see that exactly what you're saying is that your actions really back up. And it just, to me, just shows how much faith that you really have in who Jesus is and what mm-hmm. he did and the change that he can make in your life. You've faced so much sacrifice and mm-hmm. I know it's hard to plant a church, particularly. I mean, you are in a foreign land, right? So that's
yes.
really incredible. And mm-hmm. the love that you have for the Indian people in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. I am in the IT world for a bank, and so I work with a lot of people from India.
India.
Mm-hmm. I actually Yeah, usually several times a week we have meetings with people that are in India and contracting to the bank. So I personally have a heart for Indian people too. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's just incredible to hear what you guys are doing and the sacrifice. And it just encourages my faith because it just, you know, it's like if they believe that much and they sacrifice that much, then it just confirms what I know of Jesus in my life. You know, just encourage
yeah.
each other.
Thank you. Thank you. My hope and my prayer is like, I really want to see my children serving the Lord. That's my desire. What I feel is like, without my parents' prayers, I wouldn't be here. Same thing with my in-laws. So unless our parents are not there, we are not here. So same thing, I want my children to see. Now, when I see my kids helping in the church, like they help us with setup, they help us with take down, they help us so many things for the church. When I see that one, I feel blessed. That's my biggest desire, to see both my kids serving the Lord in the front line. Yeah, and not it's because of us. That's my everyday prayer, that Lord, give them a heart to serve you. That's my every single day prayer, that they have to serve the Lord, no matter whatever the circumstance might be. But they have to serve the Lord. That's my desire. Both of our desire, my husband and mine. So that was our prayer before they were born. So I trust in the Lord that He's going to use them mightily for His kingdom. Yeah.
That's so good. I know. I love that. I do pray for my kids too. I'm like, I don't care about anything else. I just want you to, I say a different way, that I just want you to love the Lord, because the Lord, if you love the Lord and you put Him first, then He's going to direct you in whatever He has for you. Yeah. So I love that specific though, that, you know, that you will serve the Lord on the front lines. I'm going to pray.
Yeah. Because I see, like, my older one is in the first grade. And by the way, I have two boys. One is 7 and 5-year-old. So my older one is David. And he's in first grade. And the other day he came from school and he was talking about, like, his science class. And he was telling me, Mama, teachers doesn't make any sense to me, Mama. I said, why? Then he was telling me, because they tell us that we came from animal. They say that we haven't created by God. So I'm like, I was just waiting to hear from him. He said, you know what, Mama? But I don't believe those teachers. I believe in God, because He's the one who has given us life. He has created everything. So that's amazing when I hear those kind of things from my children. That day I'm like, Lord, thank you. I cannot express my joy, but I see that. Because in Boston, you see all these things. Like every minute you see all these things. Like, seeing these things, it hurts my heart. But when I see my children in the church serving the Lord and learning about the Lord, that's the biggest blessing I feel to serve the Lord. Like, yeah.
Because yeah, as our parents. Our first mission field is our kids, right?
And yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters who we reach, but if our kids aren't serving the Lord, then somewhere we've gone awry. gone wrong. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's and I love that. I love that we have the same heart for our kids. That's so good. Well, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm so encouraged.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, I'm really blessed to share my story. I hope people who are listening this will be blessed too. Thank you.
Thank you, Anitha.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Anitha. I know I am just so inspired. There's just a couple points that I wanted to take away from that. And the first thing is just their heart of hospitality and how they are so relationship driven. You know, she talks about the first thing she does is just talk to people and just invite them into her home and feed them. And then talking about the gospel and just showing them love. I love that she says, if you don't show love, there's no point in saying it. So that's so challenging to me to show love first, and then we can talk about the gospel after we've shown the love. You know, she talks about going to sit down with people so they know they're not alone, spending time with them. That is so challenging. You know, our time is just one of our most valuable resources, and being able to give that to a person that is in need is so important. I love, too, how God gave them a heart for a people, the Indian people, but they weren't where they thought they were going to be. You know, God puts these desires in our hearts, and so many times he redirects us in a different way. So they thought they were going to India to serve Indian people, and yet God says, yes, I want you to serve Indian people, but I want you to do it in Boston. So, like, the desire was met, but it's just not how they thought it was going to be met. And I've seen that in so many stories before, that God puts this desire and we think we know how it's going to go, but he just is so sneaky and redirects us in a different way. And the last thing is just the sacrifice that they are making for the sake of the gospel. Just in the way that they are not with their family. They are in a foreign land to them. How they had to miss their parents' funerals, knowing that they can't complete the work here in the States that God has given them to do if they leave. And y'all, this is the very definition of following Jesus. You know, he talks about, you know, if anyone is going to follow me, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross, and it's following him no matter what, even when it's hard. You know, let's just be clear. Obedience is not easy. But when you know Jesus and you know the difference he makes, you are willing to follow him so that others can know him too. And that really is where my heart is with sharing these stories on this podcast, so that we can all be inspired to live that kind of life for the gospel. So I hope Anitha and her family have inspired you today. Once again, if you're in the Charlotte area, come and meet them at North Rock Hill Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. You can also check out the show notes over at featherspodcast.com. It will have a link to their church in case you want to connect with them in Boston, if you're in the Boston area. All right, guys. So I think that is it for today. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week on Feathers.